rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. I just love that commercial on Mickey's with Jill on there when she does a good job of that. That's all I can tell you. She does a really good job. She's one of my neighbors down south out there west of Willow, and a great person, great neighbor, her and Randy Bow. So anyway, I just like listening to that commercial. I don't know why, but I do. She does a good job of it. Anyway, let's check out what's happening today on the big Thursday. I know feeder sales going on right now up there at Woodward. I don't know what the market's like right now up there, but we will know here after a while. Tomorrow, Elk City is having theirs. I know lots of people are taking their cattle there tomorrow. And then Hollis is Saturday, and back to Western Oklahoma livestock auction over there west of or east of Clinton come Monday, just so you know where you're going with your cattle. I know you know, but I'm just going to remind you about it every day, if not every other day. Currently, right now, the warm spot in the state is Hollis, Oklahoma, and Mangum, both at 51 degrees. Altus is at 49. Eric, you're at 50. One of the mezzanine stations is back up. Cheyenne, Arnett, Camargo, it looks like you're still down. 47 degrees at Cheyenne, 45 at Sealand, 44 at Buffalo, 42 at Lahoma, and Slapout, Oklahoma, 44 degrees, and Perryton, Texas is 44, and Wheeler, Texas, and Shamrock, you're both at 51 degrees. Anyway, I'll have more on your forecast coming up a little bit later in the show. Got a great show today. Mason Tucker's going to be in here in just a little bit. He won him a big, nice paycheck Saturday at Plainview, Texas, with the Western Equipment Tech competition they had out there. He's going to be in here to tell us all about it. He's a great kid. He's smart. They say he's quiet, and I'm not going to get him to talk, and I'm going to change that today. We'll see what happens. All right, let's check out what happened. Hey, oh, I'm on the wrong one. Bear with me here a second. Nope. There we go. I wasn't 100% prepared. How's that? Last night. Let's see what happened last night. Soybean and corn futures were a little changed in overnight trading, as some rain is expected in parts of Argentina, which has been extremely dry for months. Rain fell in the states of Cordoba and two or three more of those states. Precipitation also is expected next week in several growing states. Rain in the southwest parts will improve moisture in Argentina and some crop conditions. Moisture remains short in the northeast areas, but improvement is expected next week. A couple days ago, this story was just opposite of what they're just saying now. Still, the South American country has been extremely dry for quite some time, and traders are keeping on an eye on how much the rain improves the crop condition. The U.S. Department of Agriculture last week pegged soybean production in Argentina at 45.5 million metric tons. That's down from 49.5 million tons. Exports from the country are now seen at 5.7 million metric tons, down from the previous forecast of 7.7. Soybean futures fell last night, a penny and a half to 15.23 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down 40 cents at $477.70 a short ton, while soy oil lost 0.12 cents to 64 cents a pound. They did it again at $64 a pound. Corn futures for March delivery declined 2.25 cents to 679 a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery gained 0.25 cent to $7.42¾ a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City lost 2.25 to 8.39¼. According to the USDA and the United Nations, exports from Ukraine surged in December last month, jumped to 3.7 million metric tons in December, and that's up 1.1 million from November. In the first 2 weeks of January, about 1.2 million metric tons of food products has moved from the ports through unfavorable weather in the port city of Odessa. And inspection areas in Turkey have also slowed down some of the movement. China has been the biggest recipient of their grain so far. Roughly 44% of what's come out of Ukraine has ended up in China. Weather around us. Winter storm warnings and winter weather advisories remain in effect for much of Iowa, southern Minnesota, and almost all of Wisconsin, according to the National Weather Service. Light to moderate snow is expected in parts of northern Iowa with another inch or two. Patchy blowing snow could significantly reduce visibility. And in central and northern Wisconsin, heavy snow was falling before daylight this morning, and they're thinking about getting another couple inches, but total could be as much as 9 inches in some area. Check this out. Utah and California, they should get their ponds filled up from what I seen a while ago. And this is coming from, continue. Check out this snowfall. In Brighton, Utah, 429 inches. Snowbird, Utah, 404 inches. Dodge Ridge in California, 387 inches. And Mammoth Mountain, 378 inches of snow has fallen in those resorts already. Those are the snowiest resorts in North America right now with over 400 inches of snow. So they should get some snow melt off this spring. What do you guys think? So, anyway, that's a lot of snow. Go out there and measure 400 inches. Just imagine trying to feed some cows or unroll a bale of hay. It ain't happening. So anyway, what's happening with the market right now? Let's get a up to the date noon update on your markets. Corn for March is 679. It's down a little, almost two. May is 676. July is 664. And September 613. Soybeans for March 1511. May is 1506. And July is 1499. I'm just telling you. Oil, gas, S&P, livestock, everything. This, my board looks like a Christmas tree today. Soybean meal, March 474.10, May is 457.80. Soybean meal for July is 448.30. Soybean oil, 62.86. May is 62.68. July is 62.30. Hard red winter wheat, March 837, it's down 4. May 833, oats are down almost 5. March is 365, and May is 360. Cotton for March is 84 cents a pound, and May is 85 cents a pound. Looks like West Texas Intermediate crude oil is up a little bit today, not quite a dollar. It's a little over $80 at 80.42 for February. Natural gas just keeps sliding backwards. It's at $3.27 for February. S&P, NASDAQ, Dow, they're all in the red today. NASDAQ's down over 100, and S&P's around 28, and the Dow's down 207. So according to what I'm looking at right here. Gold, still hanging in there at 1904. Hey, text line's wide open. Did anybody go melt any of their wife's jewelry the other day? Sell some of that gold? Let me know if you did. There's a lot of stories in the news today. I seen last night that some people are in trouble with J&S. What's that name of the? Yeah, the one of the big processors. They are in deep trouble. The ones out of Argentina hiring child labor. They didn't know it, the people they hired to do it. Six of their plants in the United States, supposedly they hired children under 16 years old, 18 years old, to clean up the processing plants, and it was, they're getting after whoever that company was for child labor laws. So anyway, in other words, they had a coyote. Somebody was receiving the money, and they were getting the people actually doing the work were just getting a portion of it. So they're in trouble. A lot of big things going on there. So I'll keep you up to date when I get a really good story that sounds off on it. When I come back here in a minute, I'm going to talk about the live cattle report and what happened at Hobart yesterday. And I want to touch on the Farmall 856. I've been promising to do it for a few days now, and I'm going to do it today. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Is on the menu at Hudson Angus Farms. Their 10th annual bull and female sale is Saturday, January 28th at 1 p.m. at the farm west of Elk City. Selling 65 head of 2-year-old and 18-month-old feed intake tested bulls. Also selling 20 head of bred heifers and 16 head of bred second calf cows. To see the catalog and videos, go to their website, HudsonAngusFarms.com, or find Hudson Angus Farms on Facebook. The Hudson Angus Farms Spring Bull Sale, Saturday, January 28th. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 o'clock west of Elk City.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 13th. 1,846 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 286 brought 250. 9 at 456 brought 242. 4 at 491 brought 222. 15 at 617 brought 192. 10 at 654 brought 187. 16 at 663 brought 186. 4 at 678 brought 180. 5 head of heifers at 370 brought 210. 11 at 447 brought 190. 9 at 463 brought 192. 13 at 510 brought 180. 12 at 540 brought 177. 25 at 646 brought 168. 25. 12 at 668 brought 172.50. Butcher cows were 37 to 85. Butcher bulls brought 58 to 110. Bred cows were 850 to 1675. Pairs brought 900 to 1600. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Currently here at the Elk City Measurement Center, the temperature is 49, the wind chill is 44, the humidity is 41%, and the winds are out of the northwest, 14 miles an hour, with with wind gust up to 21. Mr. Mason Tucker has joined me in the studio, but we got a couple things to do, and then we'll get to him and hear about all this tools and scholarships and what all this other stuff. I want to know how he won. I want to know if he cheated. No, probably not. But anyway, we're going to talk about that. And then, okay, so futures right now in cattle. Everything's in the red. February, live cattle, 156. April's 159.12. June is 156.07. August is 156.17. Feeder cattle for January is 178.20. March is 180.02. Lean hogs for February, 76. Even? Nope, 76.60. And April is 84.15. And May is 92.70. Yesterday at the Hobart Stockyards, 3 to 4 weights were bringing up to 240.50. 203.03 was the average. 4 to 5 weights bringing up to 235. 5 to 6 weight steers were bringing up to 199. And 6 to 7s up to 184. 7 to 8s was up to 168. On the heifers, where's the heifers at? There they are. 3 to 4 weight heifers, $1.93. 4 to 5s bringing up to $1.88. 5 to 6, 172 was top end, 159 top end on 6 to 7 weights, and 8 to 9 weights, $1.40. Bred cows, I'm guessing. Is that right? Let me get back here, see here. There we go. No. Slaughter cows, average weight on the slaughter cows yesterday was 1129, and they were bringing up to 8350, and then we had some pairs. Was bringing 1,300, some bred cows up to 1,675, and slaughter bulls were 101 top end. All right, we've been talking about this for, this will be the third day now. The 856 Farm All. One of my favorite guys to look up on equipment is Ryan Rusinek, and he does a really good detailed job of doing these stories on all these tractors, whether it's a 4020 or the old Snoopy that we talked about some time back. But here he says, I stumbled on the listing for this Farm All 856 a few days ago and kind of fell in love with it. I'm a big fan of the 56 series, and I've never actually written about them. This seems like a perfect opportunity to do that and a perfect opportunity to introduce a new tractor category, the Hustle Tractor. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. To be perfectly transparent, I have absolutely zero interest in owning one of these. In fact, as much as I like it, when I saw this listing, I'd be lying if I said it didn't make me awfully anxious. We'll get to why in a minute. On paper, the 856 Farm All was an updated version of the very successful 806. As soon as it had such big shoes to fill, he said. However, I think there's more to it than that. I think, and this is just my opinion, the 856 was when Harvester finally felt like they really put a rocky pass behind them. To make long story short, I don't know if some of you guys out there still remember this, but the early 460s and 560s had major issues with rear end failures, and it turned into a big public relations dumpster fire for Farm All. To fix that problem, it cost $19 million then. Just think about that in the early 60s and late 50s. That'd be close to $200 million today. The 806, to put it bluntly, the Harvester was salty about the whole thing. They knew that 560 was their own fault. They knew it would cost them, and quite frankly, they were sick and tired of being reminded about it every 9 minutes. When they built the 806, they engineered the single toughest machine they ever built. By the time that it rolled off the assembly line in Rock Island, Illinois, the test mules had racked up over 75,000 hours of testing. The IH engineers had beaten them tractors to death over and over because they could feel the stings from the 560, and they didn't want to deal with that again. Well, it worked. The 806 and the dry sleeve Decent 361 was one of the most bulletproof motors ever. The company moved close to 51,000 units, and it's not hard to find them still earning their keep today. Some have over 20,000 hours on the clock and haven't had the head or the pan dropped on it. And I think there's something to it, because up there in Fruitland, Idaho, where one of my buddies lives, there is a lot of vegetable farms there. And I've hung around there a couple, 2 or 3 weeks at different given times. And everyone, and I'm not talking about just a house garden. I'm talking about these are huge vegetable farms up there right along I-80 west of Boise. And they do a lot. And every one of them in their vegetable gardens, thousands of acres, they all have farmalls in them. And so that says something for them. With the 856 harvester improved on the 806, in doing so, I think they proved to themselves that the past was behind them. The 856 farmall was introduced in 1967 as a direct replacement for the 806. For the most part, the changes were substantial. It's just a tiny bit bigger and heavier, and borrowed the grill from the 1206. The biggest change was in the diesel power plant. The toughest nails D361 was now bored and stroked out to 407 cubic inches and made about 5 more horsepower. The 856 was produced from 1967 to 1971, and per tractor data, total production was 29,004 units. The figure includes I-8 serial numbers as well as the Farmall 856 Custom, a lower cost meant to compete with the John Deere 4000. It was essentially the same tractor, but with a single hydro, smaller fuel tank, fast hitch, and single headlights in the fenders. Overall, the tractor sold well. Basically, they took everything that had proven in the 806 and gave farmers just a little bit more. The 856 was a nibble, tough, punched away above it, way above its class, weight class. Ryan goes, I asked a buddy of mine about his definition of a muscle tractor a few months ago. He said it's got to be a two-wheel drive, have a minimum of 6 cylinders, a turbo, and make at least 100 horsepower on the PTO. I think that's a fair assessment, he said, too. Most of the tractors that we consider muscle would fit that mold. They were built to be a big tractor on a farm, and we know the competition was stiff. But there's another category, he said. One that I call the hustle tractor. Basically, it's a little brother of the muscle tractor, two-wheel drive, 80 to 100 PTO horsepower. They could do pretty much anything a turbo tractor could do, but probably better suited for smaller jobs. By the numbers, if you're looking purely at sales for the definition of what reigned supreme, everybody played second fiddle to the John Deere and to the 4020. From a capability standpoint, I think the story has a different ending. I know the 4020 was a big deal and broke a lot of new ground, and I respect that. However, if I can only take one to the field, I'm taking the 856. Just looking at the tractor makes me squirm, he said. Ice cream box cabs and fellows, so when they come out with the cab on it finally in 1965, Harvester partnered up with Stoper Allen out of Wisconsin to build this cab. And basically what he was saying here about the cab, the biggest complaint was if you cleaned your plate at your house, you weren't going to fit in this cab. So you had to be a skinny guy, kind of like me and Mason, huh? Anyway, but you're tall. That might be a back deal on it. But anyway, the biggest complaint about these cabs was the interior space. The cabs are literally just a touch over 38 inches wide, and they were designed because you still needed to be able to mount the corn pickers that they used up north. I understand why they had to build it this way, but they weren't made for comfort. He said, I'm 6'6" tall, and with my arms at my side, I'm 32 inches wide. If I could even get into that cab, I'd have a total of 3 inches of room to move around on each side. Even with all that, the cabs were a notable accomplishment. Even if they were drafty and dusty, they did keep out the main elements. And to a lot of farmers in the 60s, that was a big deal. Values on the Farmall 856 have been increasing over the past 4 years. Some of them have been bringing $9,000, $10,000, which is pretty good. And then to wrap this up, hustle tractors are an important piece of farming history in my book, And I think we continue to see these tractors in collectability. Pound for pound, they were in some cases and still are the tractors that worked the hardest to feed America. They made terrific parade tractors, too. It'd be interesting to watch this 856 as the week progresses on this auction that they got going on. So if you guys are all, anytime you're up there in Idaho or up in that area where all those big vegetable farms are, I'm not joking. Look over there and that's what you'll see. When you come back, I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma forecast for you for the weather, Long Ranger, and Mr. Mason Tucker will be on the radio here with me. Be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Sugar Creek Casino presents Kicking Country and Taking Names.
Your life is short, so go on and live it. Cause the chicks dig it.
Country music superstar Chris Cagle live Saturday, January 28th. Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center.
What a beautiful day.
Chris Cagle, one night only, live at Sugar Creek Casino.
Let's go.
Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at SugarCreekCasino.com.
Boy, do we have some news for 2023. Cummins Ford is hauling in the new year, and you can save thousands on all remaining new 2022 Ford F-150s. It's made for hauling crews, it's made for hauling loads, or it's made for hauling thousands back to the bank. Don't miss out. Go to Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford now. Best Ford experts and service in Western Oklahoma. Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford, just off I-40, or online at CumminsFordWeatherford.com. Built Ford tough.
DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City is celebrating 35 years in business thanks to you, their loyal customers. Bobby and Trish invite you to help them celebrate all year long. Stop by every chance you get. They look forward to seeing you. DJ's Rentals and Sales on South Main in Elk City, where they rent most everything and sell new mowers too. See all they have to offer at DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com. And be sure to check out their ad in each week's Penny News.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at Everett'sWelding.com. Again, that's Everett'sWelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your forecast for Beaver, Oklahoma. 45 degrees, the wind chill is at 39. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 12 miles an hour, and gust up 16, humidity 38. Today, 51 for a high, The winds will be out of the north, obviously. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 54. The winds will be out of the east in the morning, switching out of the southeast tomorrow afternoon. Check you guys out. Tomorrow night, 60% chance of wintry mix. 27 for a low. Saturday, 37 for a high and a 70% chance of wintry mix. Saturday night, you're going to get down to 17. Sunday, you warm back up to 47. No wind and sunny. Sunday night, 20% chance of snow. Monday, 30% chance of snow. So you got an interesting forecast coming in. So get prepared. Get the cattle fed so you don't have to get out in that stuff in case the weather people hit it right this time. How about that? All right. On the show with me today is the famous, world famous now, Mr. Mason Tucker's on. Welcome to the show, Mason.
Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming in. I got this up here a while ago. You remember taking that picture?
Yeah.
Anyway, so how exciting was it to just take part in Western Equipment's Ag Tech program out there?
It was quite the opportunity, and I want to give a big thanks to Western Equipment in Clinton, Isaac Richardson and Heath Maddox over there. They were kind of behind our trip, stuck us in a nice hotel and real nice steak dinner.
Which cut did you have?
I think it was a filet with fried shrimp, if I remember.
Wow. Right. Yeah. You had the, what do they call that, steak and surf and turf.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
So without throwing your family's beef business under the...
I don't know.
It was, was it pretty good?
It was decent.
Good answer. Because you know your mom and dad's listening. Probably your grandma and grandpa also. Anyway, so how did you get involved? Or what brought this up?
So it's a... That is a pretty funny story.
And we like funny stories.
It was this last year. We were shooting at the Grand American in Sparta, Illinois. And me and Aiden, who I want to give congrats to, I later found out he finished in less than the top 15%, somewhere between top 10 and top 15% out of 200 and some contestants.
All right. But
anyway, and they had these rental golf carts to get up and down the trap line.
I remember something about this.
Yeah. Slow as molasses, and we figured out how to turn them up. And then eventually Isaac Richardson, him and his boy Quade, were there shooting, and they were sitting around with a bunch of us, and he said something, shoot, if you can do that, you ought to come over and check out the Western Equipment shop, mechanic shop. So we did. They gave us a pretty cool tour
over
Clinton.
There.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And got us signed up in the Ag Tech program, the Invitational. And then here just recently is when we went down there.
Right. So. And so you went to Plainview, got signed up, and it was, you know, when James come on here and, and talked about it about a month or so ago, you know, they were like at 125 and 140. So basically it filled up. And how cool is the shop out there at Plainview?
It's massive. The pictures do no justice.
I got you.
I think it was Aiden that asked, maybe James actually, that he asked James how big it was, and it was 100 by 200 foot.
That's a big shop.
That's...
You could do a lot of damage in one of those, couldn't you? So there you go. So you went out to Plainview, and you guys probably had some kind of get-together before and talked all about this. So how many different categories were they in this competition?
So there were five different categories. There was electrical, tool ID, part ID, and then I think two written tests, two written exams. Yeah, tool ID, part ID. Should be two exams along with those two.
Right. So basically they took all your scores, because I seen your grandpa at the Sarah basketball game the other night, and he was showing me all these scores. So they scored you from in that category, what, from 1 to 10 or something, is that right? Or how'd they get, I can't remember.
I don't remember it. I think, like, each question was just a point. I know they scored it like golf. The fewer the points, the better.
Right. And you were under par, obviously, or you wouldn't have come in second.
Somehow.
Well, you had five different categories. Which was your strongest?
I believe tool ID.
Tool ID. Mm-hmm. All right. And then which was your weakest?
Electrical.
Tell us a little bit about what you did in that electrical test, because electrical's my weakness, too.
So there was a kind of a... Half of it was a like a diagnosis thing. There was a switchboard, you know, some halogen light bulbs, some resistors. There was a DC motor, toggle switch, all wired together to make some contraption. And you had to, that part you had to find the resistance of some stuff, why voltage drop across different components, stuff like that. That one, and they gave you a nice multimeter to use.
Right.
But the other half... Yeah. Was wiring diagrams.
Yeah.
And that one, it was not...
not good.
No.
Yeah, but that's the one you're going to have to improve on, mm-hmm. because there's so much wiring mm-hmm. in these tractors anymore.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like that's most of the mechanicking, for the lack of a better term, right. nowadays, is wiring diagnosis.
Your dad's probably really excited about hoping you become one of these techs so he doesn't have to call somebody to come out and fix his dip every day on his tractor, huh? Because I know he cusses a little bit. So, but anyway, and then you had the written test, and you did your electrical, your ID and stuff like that. And I noticed through all the pictures that, I mean, they had that shop set up where it was just like a big convention center. Mm-hmm. You're walking around. Did you see any cool tools out there that you'd never seen before?
There were two overhead cranes, 5-ton cranes, two of them in that shop. That's not something you see every day, I guess.
No.
That's a little bit of an upgrade from the common cherry picker, I guess.
Yeah, it probably is. Well, then... But as you guys walked around there, I'm sure they took you guys on a tour of everything in the groups or the whole thing mm-hmm. together. But I noticed they just had tables full of different mm-hmm. electric battery-powered tools and hand tools and stuff like mm-hmm. that. That was pretty cool.
It was. There was. They did. They gave away a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. So did everybody walk away with something in their hand, probably?
No, I don't think so.
I got you. It's all. Well, let's talk.
Actually, they did, but not tools.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then, well, let's talk about your second place. You come in second place. You got a $15,000 scholarship, mm-hmm. and you got a toolbox. And, of course, this, who was it, Alec Shadle? That got first, he got $20,000. He got the big toolbox, and then you got the smaller one. Mm-hmm. But that smaller one still was a full load in the back of that pickup I seen. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, what kind of cool tools were in there?
A lot of it's just basic wrenches, you know, end wrenches, sockets, but, you know, arguably the most important stuff.
Right.
Probably the most expensive, too, I guess.
Right. I'll have John Deere on them.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to lock him up because mm-hmm. I can see your little brother getting off of some of that. Mm-hmm. Have you already gave him a warning?
I don't think so.
But you're going to. So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break right quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Mason, and I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. And that's what we want. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference. Napa Auto Parts, 716 West 3rd, Elk City, Oklahoma. Napa Know How.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that, because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Good afternoon, great stewards of land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, January 16th. 2,733 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 286 brought 251. 9 at 456 brought 213. 3 at 592 brought 195. 14 at 706 brought 179. 59 at 780 brought 179.25. 24 at 833 brought 178. 45 at 875 brought 173. 4 head of heifers at 318 brought 210. 6 at 453 brought 200. 12 at 549 brought 182.50. 13 at 648 brought 162, 8 at 667 brought 169, 10 at 687 brought 166, 40 at 743 brought 169.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 88, butcher bulls brought 60 to 104, bred cows were 650 to 1150. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. Grab your 13 dimes and a nickel.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Drew and his 13 dimes and a nickel. Man, it is, it's stuck with everybody. All right, here is your forecast for Hobart, Oklahoma. And this is sponsored by, of course, Hobart Farm and Garden. Currently, it's 51 degrees. North-northwest winds 12 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 17. Today, mostly sunny, 55. North-northwest winds. Tomorrow, 57. Winds will switch out of the east from in the morning to the southeast in the afternoon. Won't be too bad. Tomorrow, it's going to cool down a little bit. But Saturday, we have a 30% chance of rain showers with a 51 for a high. Saturday night cools off into 28 degrees. Sunday is going to be a beautiful day and 52 degrees, and Monday 49 degrees and mostly cloudy with east winds at 14 to 15. That is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for Hobart, Oklahoma, capital of Kiowa County. All right, back to Mr. Tucker. And again, congratulations on second place at the Western Equipment AgTech competition out there at Plainsview, Texas. And we were talking a little bit during the break. He's telling me that Oklahoma kind of took it all. So
yeah,
I hate that. No, like, there's a lot of good people in Texas, don't get me wrong. But anyway, you know, there's this Oklahoma-Texas thing that always goes on. But I think we found out that the winner was from Dover, and I'm pretty sure that's up there around Hennessy, somewhere up there north of Kingfisher. I might be wrong. But anyway, it's somewhere in that area. I could have looked it up. So you got a $15,000 scholarship. You got a bunch of tools. you signed, if I remember right, a letter with Murray to go shooting, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. So now you got to put on your big boy pants and make some decisions, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So go shooting first.
Maybe.
Yeah. I know. I'm just kidding, giving you a hard time. But you guys out here in Beckham County, well, your dad and Paul Hightower, they do the best job coaching kids. And speaking of shooting, not to get off the ag tech deal, but you've been shooting competitively since when? Since how old?
I want to say that we started 4-H practice in 2016 at the here in Elk City.
Yeah.
In just a plain old pasture. And that was with, Paul and Mickey. Mickey's a big guy.
Right.
Big influence out there. He's a good guy.
Yep.
I think I'm pretty sure that's the origin of it.
Okay, and then look what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
You ever thought it was going to be like this?
I know. We went out there however many years ago that was with a old 20 gauge 870, and now it's you want to go to Kansas weekend, you think about Sparta, Illinois again, or
yeah,
and you can go all over the world with it. It's that's quite the deal.
Well, you guys had some good company. One of the Barnett girls, she did good. She got a scholarship down Altus, and then look at Clayton.
Yeah,
golly, he's going, and then another kid from Merritt is going over there where Clayton's at, isn't he?
Clayton Freeze.
Yeah,
he's
that's
one
it.
Of our...
Yeah. Clayton is, and the McKee kid, NCAA champion, first year,
national champion. Yeah,
national. I'm talking big boy school. So anyway, and then you're headed to Murray, and which is good. There's just, it's a good program because you guys are kind of getting some help to pay for all this through there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
you get to do something that's fun. You're not out there with a football helmet on and getting your neck broke.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I am.
So, anyway, I bet your mom and dad's going to miss you.
I don't know.
Monty, I got a shrug that you're not going to miss him. But anyway, well, congratulations on that, and
thanks.
Congratulations on the deal. So back to the Ag Tech deal. I were asking you some schools that you could use that scholarship money at, or where some tech schools was. Tell our listeners where some of them are that you know of.
I think the most popular one is in Garden City, Kansas, their John Deere school. And there's a big one in South Texas, I think. And I think a couple small trade school-like programs kind of polka-dotted in between.
Is there one down at Altus or somewhere down in there?
I think somewhere in that area, maybe. I could be wrong, though.
Well, one of the listeners texted in that your dad and mom's going to miss the free labor. Yeah, you got your little brother coming up, and he's wired like 100 miles an hour, so he could probably take up some space for you.
Mm-hmm.
So how's he come along with? Are you teaching him to do a little bit of machine work there in the shop and do some welding?
Him and Dad actually went down to the shop and a couple nights ago starting to weld.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. What is he, 11?
I think so.
Yeah, he's 11, yeah. Anyway.
I should know.
Yeah, he'll be welding the door shut out there. So, and they are. So you got. So you don't know what you're gonna do yet. You got a little ways to go yet.
You got an idea.
You got an idea. So, you got shooting or tech.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do both.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool.
You're pretty sharp in it. Have you got any FFA projects going on right now?
We just sat down yesterday during lunch discussing FFA week. I think that's the next biggest one.
Yeah.
All the activities for each day.
Because you're an officer there at the chapter, aren't you? Are you president?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I got a lot of kids come through here, and I'm just going to guess. I remember you because I know your family so well. But, you see what I've been working on all morning?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I got I'm doing 2 weeks of National FFA Week. I'm doing the week before and the week of, and so far I've sent out text messages to 24 schools to come to the studio those 2 weeks.
And it's a lot of schools.
It's a lot of schools and a lot of kids to keep working. Monty Tucker sent in a reply. Mason is my quiet cowboy. He's the best at pushing cattle up the chute. Oh, come on. There we go. We got it up. He's the best at pushing cattle up an alley to the working chute. You never hear him or notice him, but I'll know when he's gone. So your dad will miss you. How's that? Anyway, they got going, lots going on. So is anything going on good, real good at school right now? It doesn't, whether it's sports or ag or?
Right now, I think it's fairly quiet. Actually.
Yeah.
Let's see. The FFA week, I know I'm missing something.
Well, you guys got any shop projects going on? I bet your ag teacher loves you around the deal.
So, I think it was middle of last year, I want to say, that we just finished remodeling the school farm, or the barn at the school farm. And we've been punching out livestock panels as fast as we can.
Yeah, it looks great around that ag farm now. It's right there on the highway. You can see it.
Mm-hmm. It's a really cool little spot. I hope they don't get rid of it.
No, they won't. It's city property. It ain't going nowhere. I already found out about that property. I was wanting to expand the golf course over there.
Oh, yeah.
No, I wouldn't. We're not going to go under no highway with golf carts. Were you guys the ones out there actually putting all those panels up and welding those pipes in?
That was actually, that big pipe fence was actually donated to us by Flow Fuel.
Great.
They gave a big old donation. That was one of the things.
So that was a contractor out there actually putting those up.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. It looks great. All of it looks good. The barn looks better, and just it looks like a real ag farm around there. Now we just need a bunch of animals out there.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys talk about what you're gonna do for National FFA Week?
I think we're gonna do our traditional dress up day. Maybe bring a tractor over, let some little kids climb up on and check out.
Right.
See what else. Thinking about going over to the elementary and reading to them. Petting zoo, maybe.
What kind of animals are you going to have petted?
Oh, probably sheep, pig, goat, you know, show animals. Ones we have access to.
Yeah, and your dad ought to cook up some of his awesome beef and have some, you know, over there for it.
That was another thing. I don't know if we'll be able to do that, but feeding the teachers is another thing. Doing a big burger lunch for them. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Monty, steaks is what's for lunch for those teachers. Yeah, because you guys had the ag in the classroom at your farm last year, wasn't it? Yeah, it was last year.
I think. It was like the tour thing?
Yeah, bus tour deal. Uh-huh. And it was going on in there. So, well, I appreciate you coming by. And congratulations. Mason Tucker's on the show with me today. And he came in second at the Western Equipment Ag Tech program or competition, you want to call it, out there at Plainview, Texas. Got him a $15,000 scholarship check, and then he's got a big old green John Deere toolbox at his house now. You can check it out on Facebook. It filled the back of that Dodge up. If that was a smaller one, how did they get the big one home? On a trailer?
I don't know. The little ones, the triangle boxes, and then those carts, they just stuck in the forklift, but we never saw the big one. I don't know if they'll... I imagine they'll have to trailer it. But.
Right. Well, one more thing before we go. There was 200 competitors out there. Mm-hmm. Did you meet some cool people out there?
We did. Western Equipment and Clinton actually brought two more kids. That was Reese Drennan and Lucas. I cannot remember his last name.
Right.
But they were a lot of fun to go with.
Right.
We had met another competitor over there. He was a lot of fun. But
was there any girls in the competition?
A few.
Yeah, I didn't even think to look. Not that it matters, but you know, there's some girls pretty good mechanics out there because they're probably a lot smarter than me and you on the wiring. So anyway, I know how to change a light bulb. So anyway, congratulations, Mason, and I guess we'll probably see you next month, National FFA Week. Thanks, your ag teacher texted me just a minute ago, so I'll get back with him. So anyway, thanks again for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.